Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
Well, they are finals, and the results are not good. A miserable, miserable night of sports in the city of Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame shows, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. There's Evan Heffelfinger. That's his name. My name is Tim Allen. And you guys, you want a bounce board here? I'll be the bounce board. I'll be the target here. Bucks fall 114-108. Brewers fall in 10-2-1, wasting a brilliant performance from Brett Anderson. Someone want to tell me why they didn't go at Harden all night long? Someone want to tell me why they didn't test him a little bit and just go at him and continue to go at him and go at him some more? They should still be going at him in the home locker room there at the Barclays Center. Someone want to tell me why Manny Pena didn't have a bat in his hand? Did I miss it? Did I miss that he was a pinch hitter or something? What was all the talk about Manny Pena being so good against left-handed pitching with the game on the line? Tim Lopes? Let's get that kid down at the end of the bench that doesn't get a lot of playing time. Let's get him in there. Let's get him in there. The bigger news, and this is a loss for the Brewers, and I understand they're down 0-2 in this series, so they got to salvage a game tomorrow. But a far superior almost demoralizing loss for the Milwaukee Bucks. What made it interesting for me, and I will just say this, up 17, I have a problem with it. If this were a back-and-forth affair, you know, Giannis doing his thing, KD's going to get his, back-and-forth, three-point game, nobody leads by more than six or so, back-and-forth, run versus run, I get all that. I would get all that. I wouldn't be as moved by this. But when you're up 17, how you don't formulate a game plan to put these guys out of their misery? Go at these guys. 414-799-1250. I know you want to react to this, and we will get your reaction to this. Oh, man. Now, it's not over. You may say it's over. A lot of people on social media are saying, fire Bud already. And it is over. That's what they're saying on social media. I don't buy that. It's not over until they're eliminated. And now it's an elimination game. Back against the wall Thursday here in town. And we'll get it to seven. Just there's the optimistic side of me here. But KD puts up more than a point a minute in this game. Dude's good. I get it. But that's, you know, Green comes in and does his thing, a hot shooter. But how did they, you know, again, I'm trying to watch two games at the same time. Would have been nice to have our Bucks guy in here tonight to to kind of do a round robin, just do a co-host. You're on the Bucks, I'm on the Brewers. Let's go to work. Let's go to town on a night like this. But I've got it. But I again, you're up 17 in this game. And how you frittered that thing away, you tell me how that occurred. Now, the referees, I think they wanted a say in this too. I don't think it was Mark Davis. And then I would have lost my mind. I don't think it was Mark Davis. But you're up 17 in this. And then you find a way to lose this basketball game. You find a way to lose at American Family Field when you get a performance from Brett Anderson, 9 strikeouts in that performance, and just 1 hit given up. Then you go Devin Williams, you go Josh Hader. Boxberger was a mess tonight. Granted, he was a mess. But you sent up there the likes of Jace Peterson, Jackie Bradley Jr. And again, you're a little handcuffed on the Brewers side of things. You're a little handcuffed here with the personnel with some of these injuries. But, I mean, Jace Peterson and JBJ, I'm about this close with JBJ. I can tell you that right now. So stay tuned to this radio program. As we move along in the month of June here, I am this close to losing my mind on a Jackie Bradley Jr. Bring all the defensive gems you can bring with you. You're striking out like 40% of the time. You're not even given a big, I just want to hold off just a little while longer, but we're on watch. We're on a little bit of a rant watch with JBJ. But you sent up there Jace Peterson, JBJ, Daniel Robertson, Tim Lopes. Are you kidding? David Stearns, if you're listening, dude, you know what you got to do. I would have taken D. Gordon, so people can understand. I would have, who's now in the Cubs organization, I would have taken D. Gordon and Hernán Pérez against any two of the following: Peterson, Robertson, Lopes, or Reyes. There's 4 guys on this roster right now. Hernán Pérez is doing quite well at AAA Nashville. And then you found a way to lose D. Gordon. But I'm just saying. So you gotta work on that. 414-799-1250. We see you there on hold. We're going to get to you in just a second here. 114-108 as the Bucks fall in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Semis. And their backs are against the wall now. They're coming back to, and there'll be a lot to talk about. Certainly tonight, for sure in the morning, Bart is back in this chair with a microphone in front of him. Wendy's Big Show is going to break everything down. Rami in the afternoon. You've got a lot of opportunities in the next 24 hours to get a lot off your chest. What did you think of the referees in this one? Again, I'm trying to watch both games here. I didn't get as isolated and as detailed as you guys may have been on the Bucks game. I'm a little more detailed on the Brewers game. You want me to walk you through a game recap here of a 2-1 10 inning loss? I don't think I want to do that. I really don't want to revisit that. I'll just give you some highlights. 9 strikeouts for Brett Anderson, the Brewers left-hander, a really good bounce back, just brilliant performance. He needed this one, and the Brewers as a team needed this one. But the offense has scored a single run in their last 17 innings. Think about that. 17 innings of offense, and the Brewers have 1 single run in their last 17 innings. Okay, that's going to have to change. We all know that. All right, 799-1250. Let's get some reaction. Either game, both games. Not a good day of sports here. Not a good night of sports in the state of Wisconsin. Let's fire things up with Joe. Joe, you're on the Fan. What's going on?
What's going on, brother? I agree with Twitter. Coach Bud needs to go. He needed to go after the bubble. But we need to attack Harden, like you said earlier. The man is on one leg. Why aren't we, like, utilizing that to our advantage? And also, we have, like, KD guarding Brook Lopez. Feed the paint. Get the man in foul trouble so he's not putting up 50 a game.
Yeah,
it's not that hard. Like, after the half, we turned into a totally different team. We turned to a non-playoff team. No ball movement. No picks. No cutting. no nothing. Awful shots, awful percentage shots, and a lack of defense. It was just crazy. We saw two different teams that game, and that's a fault of coaching. Yes, KD went off. He's gifted. He's one of the best scorers of all time. He is maybe the best player in the game right now. You can't fault that. But you can fault that the coach isn't throwing two bodies at him and making every tough shot.
They didn't do that until way at the end.
Sorry, what was that?
They didn't do that until way, way too late. Right. They did that after he had 40
exactly.
plus. Yep.
Exactly. I agree. And, I mean, I can rant all day, Tim, but I'll let you go. Thank you. You're a great host. Love hearing from you.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. You're bounce board night tonight here on The Fan, for sure. How they didn't stay aggressive is my question here. And now, Coach Bud, let's hold. You're almost there. I know. Okay, if you're this close on Coach Bud, I'm about this close on Jackie Bradley Jr. So we have a kinship there. Let's go to Racine at 799-1250. Miserable night of sports here. What's going on, Tim?
Yeah, I'm with you on both of those aspects. Coach Bud, gotta go. I mean, Kevin Durant, at his age, played every single minute, and Coach Bud just sits everybody. And the worst move we ever made, in my opinion, was getting rid of Paul George. That dude is smoking hot right now, dude. I'm sorry.
All right.
Paul George?
Yeah, Paul George.
What, am I missing?
He played for Utah, right? Should have never got rid of him. I'm sorry, dude. I'm just sorry because...
Evan, you want to handle this one?
Do you mean George Hill?
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. It don't matter anymore because Coach Bud does not know how to coach.
All right. Good deal. Tim, I haven't heard from you in a while. Tip one up on me. Have an extra one tonight. We're going to need it. 799-1250. Let's see. I question some coaching and some managerial skills here tonight in the city of Milwaukee. Don't you? Brett Anderson had pitched seven innings. Really, I don't remember a better performance from Brett Anderson in a Brewers uniform. 82 pitches, just one hit, one walk, ground ball after ground ball, but nine strikeouts. He's a pitch to contact pitcher. Nine strikeouts. You knew something was right with him. 82 pitches. You could have slid everybody back. Go one more inning. And it might have been Josh Hader in that 10th inning instead of Brad Boxberger. Hey, guys, he's been good. The fire coach, Bud, can you hold off on that one more game? Can we hold? Do we have it in us to hold off on one more game? It is at home. They are 2-0 at home in the series. Let's see. Where are we going next, Evan? I'm sorry.
Let's go to Jenny leaving American Family Field.
Jenny, you're on The Fan. What's happening?
Yeah, this is Jenny Baumgart from Menominee Falls. Go Indians, by the way. And just leaving Miller Park. As soon as we heard that they lost, losing the Nets from, mm-hmm. you know, having one of their big three down, we thought, you know, kind of the season is done for there. But also what I really wanted to know is there a reason Hader can't go more than his three at-bats, his one inning?
Well, now there is. Just because he pitched Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He had the day off yesterday, and then he's right back up there. 4 out of 5 days would be Josh Hader's regimen here the last 4 days or 5 days. I mean, that's why. I mean, if you were going to get creative, as I was just talking about, if you were going to get creative, this should have been all set up by Brett Anderson going out there for the eighth. The pitcher spot was not due up in that bottom of the seventh inning, so you didn't have to worry about that. So, all right. Jenny, thanks. Just keep the faith here. They lost a couple in a row here. Cubs did lose, but here comes the Cincinnati Reds. We told you about the Cincinnati Reds. 799-1250. You can comment on either game here tonight. As the Bucks fall 114-108, not a good mood. It's just not a good vibe here. You can comment on the 10-inning 2-1 loss or the game 5 loss, which is you can't bury the lead here. And the Bucks were up 17 points in this game. Looking good, looking sweet, looking Bucks in 6, coming back home. You heard me talking about it this morning. It's about this close to just saying it was a win, just assuming a victory. That should have been the case. And it was the case, up 17. You tell me what the hell happened. I didn't watch every possession of this basketball game. I couldn't. I had my real job to do. But it was my part-time job that took some focus off this Brewer game into the Bucks game. I have a full-time job Brewers, part-time job Bucks. But you tell me. Evan, you were watching both right along with me. What the hell happened?
I'm still trying to figure that out for myself. I think a lot of this goes on to the players. Chris Middleton was forcing a lot in the second half. I think Giannis really did not, despite his stat line, he did not play well down the stretch. Drew Holiday's decision-making was awful down the stretch. P.J. Tucker did not look great on defense. Neither did Brooke Lopez. But the most of the blame has to go to Coach Bud. The rotations were not great. Where was Bobby Portis? Why are you playing Elijah Bryant, a guy who wasn't on the team 2 weeks ago, in the most important game of the season? Mm-hmm. Why are you keeping Brooke Lopez out there when he can't guard Jeff Green at the three-point line? Why are you not attacking and taking advantage of James Harden on one leg? Why are you not winning the game that you hold James Harden to 1 of 10 shooting? This goes down to Bud. And yes, credit to Kevin Durant for having maybe the best game in playoff history. But this one is on the Bucks. They shot themselves in the foot. They are the reason they lost this game. Not only is it the players, but it is Coach Bud. And I think that this was it. This was my last straw.
Okay, so is it on the Bucks losing this game, or did the Nets go out there and win this thing? And that really is the balancing act you have to think about here. 799-1250, real quick, Evan, how were the officials in this game?
Not great, to be completely honest. Now, I am notorious for not liking the referees. I'm one of those guys who thinks that they have it out for my team always, because usually yeah. They do. But tonight, specifically, they could not decide what was a block and what was a charge. And believe it or not, but like 9 of the 10 calls went the way of the Nets. There were some out-of-bounds calls that went the wrong way. They were giving Harden and Kevin Durant fouls or foul calls on things that were nothing, but then they would let the Bucks get hacked on their end and nothing would happen. Yeah. I'm not going to say that is the ultimate reason the Bucks lost, because they really did shoot themselves in the foot, but the referees did not give them any positive news tonight.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is because on the morning show this morning, I did get a call from a George. There's a George right there on hold. We'll go to George. George, are you the one that called me this morning and talked about the referees?
Yep, just George, yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? You're now on the fan. We're going to bookend you morning and night here with me.
No, all I wanted to say was this right here. The Bucks played just like their coach. Like, he don't know anything about making adjustments. He don't know anything about how to hold the lead. He just go out there in that let it rain mentality. And I'm sitting there scratching my head. Bobby Portis averaged 11 points, 7 rebounds. He's one of the better three-point shooters on the team. And he don't get one single minute?
Not a minute. Now, I don't know if he's hurt minute. Or not. Maybe he pulled something, stretched something,
strained
something.
I didn't remember
something.
Him getting hurt in that last game. He played in the last game.
Okay. Yep, yep.
And I was sitting there like, oh, my goodness. You know what? I'm so irritated about talking about Coach Bud. I don't even care if the Bucks sneak out of this series. He got to go. I'm saying that going to the finals should not save this man. He do not know how to coach. And next year probably going to be so difficult because the Nets are going to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's
yep.
going to
no,
be a
and it's a critical part. George, that's yeah. what I was talking about this morning. This is yeah. a critical, critical timeline in Milwaukee Bucks history. It really is.
Yep. Appreciate talking to you, man.
All right, George. Always a pleasure, man. We bookend George early this morning and now later here at night. 799-1250. You tell me how the Bucks lost that game. It's not over yet. I will stress that. And we're all well aware of that. It may turn out to be, but as of right now, officially, obviously, it's not over. They're coming back home. Get this thing tied, and then hey, throw a game seven out there. Let's see what happens. Was there some tenacity in here when you felt it slipping late? I mean, that much I did follow. Evan, did you feel it slipping at some point? Right? We all did.
Yeah, most definitely. Pretty okay. much that entire second half.
Thanasis, how many minutes did he have? A good eight to spike in some energy and things like that? How
nope.
many did he play?
1 minute and 28 seconds.
A minute 28.
A minute and 20 seconds less than Elijah Bryant.
So you couldn't kind of roll the dice there and get a little energy and some spike of physicality or, you know, whatever it might be, some nasty in there, whatever it could have been with him. But see, again, man. Okay, so there's been worse nights in Wisconsin sports history, but a tough one tonight, for sure, no question. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame shows, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, talking Bucks, talking Brewers. Bucks fall in game 5, 114-108. Brewers fall in 10, 2-1 to the Reds in another wasted brilliant pitching performance. We're talking about it here on The Fan.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on The Fan. Call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM, The Fan.
A couple of losses tonight. I remember years ago, many years ago, at a radio station I worked at, we used to do a bit called The Gripe Line. Kind of a schmaltzy thing. The Gripe Line. It's a Wednesday morning, whatever it is. That's sort of what this is, though, tonight. 2-1 loss in 10 for the Crew. And a 114-108 game 5 loss. As we'll get to Bart. Bart wants to check in. You're going to be talking a lot about this tomorrow morning, that's for sure. Let me go to Noah. Noah, you're next at 799-1250. Bucks, Brewers, yeah, kind of a rough one tonight. Noah, you there?
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, shoot, what's on your mind?
All right, I want to know what you think about this. So I'm complaining about tonight, but when the strikeout is more important in the 10th inning, why isn't Hader out there instead of the 9th in a non-safe situation? Like, it
yep.
doesn't make sense.
Yep. I'm starting to – but Noah, we're all trying to figure out this strategy stuff in extras. We really are. In the grand scheme of things, there's so many different scenarios and what might be the right strategy to kind of – maneuver your way through a 10th inning with your bullpen. Not offensively, we can talk all day long. Do you bunt them over? Do you hit behind them? Do you steal? Whatever. But in terms of the pitching and your personnel, I think we're still trying to figure it out. But I'm starting to maybe give that a little thought. That was brought up a month or so ago. No, it might have been you. But I'm starting to think that is the higher leverage situation with a man on second and nobody out.
Yep, I would agree. I think that, like you said, man on second, nobody out, you need strikeouts, right? Because you bunt them over, you get them in just without allowing a hit. So I think Hader needs to be there. I'm at least thankful that Council's bunting more guys over when he has that opportunity, but I think they got to really give that a good look. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it. No, it's a great point. 799-1250. Let's get Duke in here. Duke, you're on The Fan. Bucks, Brewers, they both fall tonight.
Okay, just a couple of points, and I'll hang up and listen. First of all, I don't know why anyone's surprised by Coach Bud's coaching. You know, it's the regular season versus the playoffs. And once again, it's proven that you just can't win in the playoffs because of the style we play. And that's going to continue to happen time and time again. We talked about getting another player. We got Holiday. That didn't work out so far. Regular season fine. Playoffs, here we are, go again. Just another point. I'm so glad that somebody called out Bradley Jr. That guy's awful. How long are we going to stick with him? All right.
I want to hold on. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit. Duke, thanks. All great points. Bart Winkler. By the way, you guys can jump in here. We'll be here a while. I want to hear from Coach Bud. I want to hear from Craig Council. These two leaders tonight. Rough one. Bart Winkler, you're going to be breaking all of this down in the morning.
Yeah, Tim, and thanks for filling in today, and I'm excited to talk to you tomorrow. And I do want to talk Brewers with you because I've seen a lot about Freddie Peralta, where he could be not only – we keep thinking, like, who's going to be the all-star, and Freddie's pitching tomorrow, and it could be Burns and Hader and Woodruff, but Freddie should be in that mix. And I've been reading some articles this week about how if you're going to take a long-shot Cy Young winner – you might want to look at Freddie Peralta. So I want to talk about him. I want to talk about the Brewers. I want to talk about the Reds, who are sneaking up on this division. So we'll talk Brewers tomorrow at 9. I just wanted to call in and ask you, like, because I look at you as a mentor, yeah, in a little bit. We were both former program directors at different stations. I think we jive pretty much with not only our personalities, but how we view radio.
Mm-hmm.
At what point can I quit liking sports? Like, at what point can I be like, this is a net negative in my life?
This sports is supposed to be a positive influence. Yes.
At what point can I say I'm doing something harmful to me? Like, if you drink too much or eat too much or eat fast food too much, or, you know, whatever. At some point, you need an intervention and you stop.
Yes.
At what point can I stop liking our team?
It's okay to be. I know that.
I'm
this hurts.
Hurt a lot.
Incredibly painful tonight. It is. And it's so frustrating. Yeah, the biggest frustration for me, Bart, it really is the 17-point lead. And I understand an NBA game does ebb and flow a little bit, and there's runs involved. But up 17 with a chance to step right into the driver's seat, coming back home here, your Bucks in six chant, just wild and loud all over the city right here. How you didn't lay the hammer down with some nasty and go right at them, I don't understand. How I didn't watch every minute of that basketball game, Bart. How did that occur?
They just stopped playing. The way they played in the first half, they just stopped playing in the second half. And there's a lot of people that want Coach Bud fired, and I've wanted him fired since, like, the minute he took the job and went to breakfast with Middleton and Giannis. But there's – Giannis fumbled a basketball tonight, and Middleton and Drew were not great. This is your big three, and they were not great. And they let Kevin Durant single-handedly beat them. So, again, we'll talk about this a bunch tomorrow. I'm just doing some prep for this show tomorrow. I have, like, the dream job, dude. I talk Wisconsin sports for a living. I love Wisconsin sports, and I love attention. It's the dream job for me. Yet, I talk about it in the horrifically most painful stress of years between all of our teams, from Justice Winslow's finger to Brandon Bostic to Chris Taylor's catch to tonight.
To
it's
Kevin
like,
King.
Here's your dream job, Bart.
Yeah.
These years are going to be terrible. I'm just wondering, like, at what point can I stop?
Yeah, maybe there's those meetings that radio has developed now where, you know, the rest of the staff comes into your studio and they say, do you have a second here? Can you come on into the conference room? And you sit down and you say, hi, my name's Bart Winkler. And everyone else says, hi, Bart. And we're here to talk to you about your mental state here with regards to being so moved by sports. That's what it's all about, though. That's
you
why
know
we
that
do
when
it.
When I come in during the morning after a big loss, and my key fob works, I audibly groan.
Stop. All right, we'll be listening tomorrow morning. A lot of reaction all day tomorrow here on The Fan. Bart?
Yeah, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 9, buddy.
All right, there he is, Bart Winkler. He definitely will. You know, you have a chance to process. But right now we're reacting. After the reaction, you can process, digest, and then go for it tomorrow with maybe a little bit better frame. But right now, it's pretty painful. It really is. And the Brewers, yeah, it's a tough loss. It is. It ain't a loss like this for what the Milwaukee Bucks here went through tonight. You know, you're in a driver's seat to come on back home and just to put them out of their misery. I mean, how we didn't test some – is that maybe a code of brotherhood here? That you don't go right after a guy with a bad hammy? You don't have that as part of your offense? When they jacked around with, well, he's going to be out. And then he's, well, a few hours later, maybe 6 or 8 hours later, well – Harden's not necessarily out, but he's elevated to doubtful. That's where we list him as doubtful. And then maybe a few hours later, well, it's not doubtful, it's not out, it's questionable. We're going to check him on shoot around. We're going to find out. That would have been blood in the water if I were a head coach. That would have been, you want to play that? That guy ain't going to last the game. I don't want him to hurt anymore, but we're going to expose whatever weakness is in that hamstring. We're going to find out tonight what weakness is in that hamstring. I want that tested. I want him tested 2 of every 3 possessions. Did they do that, Evan?
Sorry, I was on the phone. What did you say?
It doesn't appear they did.
I didn't hear what you said, and I'm going to agree with you that they didn't do it, because I'm sure that they didn't do it.
Okay. All right, we'll talk more if you want to react on either one of these games. A tough one for the Brewers, 10-inning, 2-1 loss. A tougher loss for the Milwaukee Bucks, 114-108. They fall in Game 5, and we're talking about both tonight. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame shows driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway here on The Fan.
The game's over, and Tim Allen is taking your calls now on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, on The Fan. Dial him up now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
Bucks come out up 10-2. They come up by 12 early on. They go on for a 17-point lead in this game, and then a few hours later, they lose 114-108. And I wish the results were a little bit different. Maybe the Brewers can pick you up a little. Nope, that didn't happen. 10-inning wasted performance because this offense has scored 1 run in their last 16 innings of play. 16 innings of play. At one point, it was 11 consecutive innings going back to yesterday with 1 hit, let alone runs. But they lose in 10, 2-1. 799-1250, continuing to take your reaction here. A rough night in Milwaukee. Marshall in Whitefish Bay, and we'll get to the rest of you guys in just a second here. You got to move a little bit on tonight's show, Marshall. Well, we want to get a lot of reaction in.
Sure, I understand. I didn't see like you, Alan. I was between both games. I think that the Brewers, the lineup in the bottom of the 10th, left a little bit to be desired. And as far as the Bucks are concerned, I'm like you. I hold off on firing the coach yet. Let's see how this series plays out. I thought it would go 7 when it started, although we missed a golden opportunity tonight, no question about it. I do believe that we'll win Game 6 at home, and it's going to go to Game 7. It's not a spot we wanted to be in, but coming into this series before all these injuries hit the Nets, you would have probably thought this has a good chance to go 7 games, folks. Just remember that. We'll see if we can win. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but we've just got to keep pressing along. And, yeah, I think the strategy in the second half, I don't know what happened. I think it went all over the map. And you can't blow this. I mean, I just think we blew a big opportunity. We're going to have to keep our fingers crossed it doesn't come back to bite us in the butt. And you can't let Kevin Durant, as great as he is, you can't let him have 50. It's called containment. They got to figure out a way to contain him. So that's all I got to say on it, guys.
Yep, great, great point. Contain him a little bit better. He's going to get his. We all know that. He's just an amazing basketball player. But when you didn't go at Harden hard, that would have been a message sent from me. Again, this is big boy sports here. You want to send a dude out there that is, it's all fully transparent. He's got a hamstring issue, and the numbers indicated that he did not have a good game. You post up on him a few times, then you end up taking a jump shot. You let him off the hook is what you did. Again, just me, the evil in me would have been a lot more nasty going at Harden. That would have been a lot, I don't know. There may have been much more in terms of physicality going at him. So, well, okay. You just hope that, okay, let's say they win on Thursday. You just hope that you don't look back at a 17-point lead in Game 5 at their place and coming back home to close out the one that burns you. But, hey, I'm with Marshall. Let's just hold off. Let's just see how this thing plays out. Let's see how it plays out on Thursday. And I will say, since we're talking a little more, welcome to the Doom and Gloomers Club. Looking at the forecast for Thursday, it looks like there's some stormy weather coming into the area. When it rains, it pours. It could be a nasty one on Thursday with the game and the weather. And all right, 799-1250. Josiah, you're next here on The Fan. What's happening?
Hey. Well, I just like to say I've been a fan of the Bucks for a long time. You know, I think that, you know, we as Milwaukee fans should expect that, you know, reffing isn't always going to go the way. That's not something we can control, you know. Going all the way back to 2001 when we got cheated, you know, and, you know, ended up, George Karl came out with Furious George book on it, and, the refs came out and talked about it. That's something we should expect. What we shouldn't expect is tolerating a coach that seemingly does not know how to coach. I mean, I don't know, anybody that's played middle school or high school basketball, certainly college basketball, watches a point guard bring the ball up the court and call a play. But what do the Bucks do? In Bucks games, we have three guys standing still, the three-point line, and then we'll occasionally have a pick and roll for Giannis and expect him to run it in from the key. You know what I mean? But watching Westbrook proves that type of play does not work. We've seen multiple seasons of watching that not work, you know? Yet Bud does the same system every single year. He watched it in Toronto, single-handedly, you know, losing a whole bunch of games in a row, you know, and we should have known by that first year. But, of course, like, you know, he doesn't understand that you have to control the pace of the game as a coach. You have to get on players when they aren't listening. Giannis should never be taking threes.
And you have to back your players, too. You have to back your players like Nash did. Nash did it a couple of days ago when he was talking about Tucker on Durant being borderline non-basketball physical. That's going through the media and sending a message. That is sending a message. Bud he should have been doing that when it comes to the physicality in and around Giannis's play. He should have been doing that 2.5 years ago.
Well, you remember George Karl was called Furious George because, what, he would get on players. He wasn't afraid to get on AAU babies, as he would call them, you know. And we don't really see that as much in coaching anymore. We see that a lot in collegiate play. A lot of these coaches nowadays are kind of afraid to get on players. But even saw Doc Rivers in the post-game interview talking about how, you know, our players aren't going to do that. You know, and you never see that from Bud. Like, he very much is just, like, very quiet.
Yeah, if calls don't go their way and they're a little unfair, he's like, hey, you can got to control what you can control. You got to move on. You can't let it affect you too much. Yeah. And to a degree, it's right. To a degree. But there are times where head coaches in the NBA do take charge and send messages.
Well, portion of it too is pace, right? You understand as a you know, former player or whatever, when a team goes up and hits a big shot, the worst thing you can do when you're playing against a good offensive team is run up the court as fast as and shoot a quick shot early in the shot clock, not setting the play. And that's the problem. We don't actually, like, how many times tonight or any night have you seen them actually running full sets of plays where all five players are moving, running sets? I'd like, and this is another thing I'd really like to cover. They don't use Giannis and Brooke appropriately. They're low post scorers. They should not be at the 3-point line. They should be on the block. And we should be using them like Paul Gasol and Zach Randolph were used back
more
in the day.
More paint play, Josiah, and more ball movement. And I think that was lacking a little bit. Hey, thanks for the call. 799-1250. When with regards to Coach Bud, you have to ask yourself this. Does he have the personnel to win the NBA title? And if he does, over the course of time, then, if he does not achieve that goal, then he even knows he's got to go. Does he have the personnel to achieve the goal of an NBA final? That's the main question. My answer would be, in this game tonight, he clearly had the better personnel to win that basketball game. You had, instead of a big three, you had a big 1.5. That's what you had. That was your opponent here. Yeah, there are periphery players that get hot. Green gets hot. Whatever you got out of Joe Harris, whatever you got out of Griffin. I mean, I understand that. But collectively, did they have the better players? I think it's a horse apiece with KD and Giannis. You've got Holiday. You've got Middleton. I don't know. 799-1250. What do you want to do here, Evan?
Let's take John in Oak Creek before the break.
What do you say, John? You're on the Fan. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey, you're doing a great job there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to say this. Yeah, Kevin Durant won that game for Brooklyn. I mean, he carried that team on his back. And he got 49 points by himself. I mean, he just, like, willed that game for the Nets, and it was a bad loss for the Bucks. Very frustrating. The Bucks are going to have to, go back home. They're going to have to win Game 6, obviously, at the Pfizer Forum. They have to go home and take care of business at home and do like what they did on Sunday and just go ahead and learn from this game and move on. And then win Game 6 and then take care of business and go back to Game 7. Yeah, you're right. You're going to have to use your personnel. You're going to have to use, like you said, Bobby Portis if you have to. You got to give him some minutes. But they got to flush this loss. It was a bad loss, not a good game. They should have won this game, but they're going to have to, like you said, go back to the Pfizer, win that game, play like they did on Sunday, and then focus on winning Game 7, but take care of business at home on Thursday.
There you go. There you go. All right. See, there's some positive thoughts right there. I think they're going to win on Thursday, and it'll be a forced Game 7, and then it's going to be fun. 799-1250. We will hear a couple of comments from Coach Bud, hopefully. We'll hear from Greg Council. Both of our teams lose tonight. Bucks fall in Game 5. Of the Eastern Conference semis, 114-108, as they were ahead 17 points in this basketball game, found a way to lose it. Brewers, boy, they struggled to put runs on the board. They get one, the automatic runner scores in the bottom of the 10th inning, but they lose 2-1. They're down 0-2 in this three-game set against Cincinnati. We warned you about Cincinnati, man. They're finding a way. You know, if I'm down in Cincinnati on WLW or something like that and saying, it is a final as the Reds take care of the Brewers in 10, 2-1, here's what I'm saying. The Reds aren't even playing that great of baseball, and they're right in the thick of this thing over 500 in the National League Central. Look out for the Reds. Don't count out the Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers. By the way, the Cubs lost today, so that's the one saving grace here in the Wisconsin world of sports here. But that four-team race, it is. It really is. And here we are, June 15th. And the Reds are, what, three games back of both Chicago and Milwaukee. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame shows driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. 114-108 Bucks fall. Brewers fall 2-1. We're right back here on The Fan.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
You know, it is nights like this that I've gotten a lot of grief over the years when I make a statement like this. And I'll just be a true confession for you. It's nights like this that are sort of fun in the world of sports. Now, again, I know that sounds funky, and I always get killed when I say that. But it does make winning a hell of a lot sweeter when you have to go through these things. I know it's tough. It is tough, and we all have a breaking point. You guys are at that point with Budenholzer. I mean, I understand. I'm almost just right there with a couple of Brewers issues that I will get to in probably, if things don't change dramatically, in probably the next 10 days or so, 10 to 14, the rest of the month, let's say that, by July 1st. Then I'm going to let it all hang out because there's no excuse on sample size. There's no more excuse on start of a season. We're beyond the start of a baseball season. Knock it off. We're beyond a start. Hey, he's this guy, that guy, the other guy, around baseball, whatever it is, whoever it is. Hey, it's always been known to get off to a slow start. We're not at a start anymore. Now, the Bucks on that side of the ledger, Budenholzer isn't just starting his coaching career in Milwaukee. So if you can answer the question, does he have the personnel to achieve an NBA final goal, and he doesn't do it again, you've got a basis there. But again, when we celebrate sweet victories, they're set up by these types of nights, and it's just crazy how you have to experience that. I know. I get it. I lose my mind too. Evan, I know you were way more moved once you felt it slipping in the Bucks game than I was, because I was all into this Brewer game. It's every pitch Brewer game. It's no score through nine. But you got moved by this Bucks game. When did you feel it slipping? Was it mid-third, early fourth? What happened?
Yeah, I think it was right around towards the end of the third. They had built the lead up a little bit in the third. I think they had gotten it to 17 or 18 at one point, and they were hovering right around like 12 mm-hmm. or 10, which is what
It held at that 8 or 9 mark for a while, and that's when I started to get nervous. Once it was a holding pattern of about an 8-point game, that for me was when I got nervous.
I knew that KD and some of those guys that they have, they're too good to go that bad on offense for a while. So I knew that as long as they keep it within like a 10-point game, as long as they can keep it like a 10-point lead, they're going to be fine. And then that evaporated. And to steal a quote from Yogi Berra, basically what I was experiencing is deja vu all over again. Because mm-hmm. the only thing on my mind was, all of those games in the Eastern Conference Finals from a couple years ago against the Raptors, specifically Game 3, where they had a lead late, and then they blew it, and then they went into overtime
well,
and blew
Davis
it again.
Had something to do with that.
Oh, don't
if,
even
if I recall.
Do not
if
even
I,
get
if,
me
if,
started.
If I recall, I believe he did.
That was one of the worst officiated series I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was horrible.
Life. But the Bucks had multiple chances in that series to not only win, but just to dominate that series. Once they lost Game 3, I was like, okay, they really should have had that, but okay, whatever. And then they proceeded to, I think, have leads in all the games and then blow them. I'm tired of seeing this team build a lead like that, and you know that you're going to kind of ease off the throttle a little bit, and you know that the other team is going to do everything to get back on offense and try to make it a game again. But it's your job to not only stop that attack, but to put them into the ground. And they did not do that today.
No. And that was the biggest thing for me was up 17, and you had a chance to just bury them. Just bury them at that point. Get nastier by that point, or at that point. You lose to and I'm afraid to even mention this. But I think we have to ponder the opportunity. Was that the pinnacle? Was that the high point? That series you just talked about, the Eastern Conference Finals against Toronto?
I have thought about that, I mean, pretty much nonstop for the last 2.5 years or however long it's been. Because I think it could be. And you say, wow. Oh, well, you know, it was Eric Bledsoe instead of Drew. But look at the players that they had. I mean, Brook Lopez was getting paid like $2 million that year. You had George Hill. You had Kyle Korver. You had a couple of different guys that were really good. And you had the best team in the league. And you flirted with 70 wins and 65 wins, all of that. It weighs on me way too much that I have seen the best that this team will ever be.
In this little window, right. This is a very critical time for the Milwaukee Bucks. It really is. It really is. So what do you do then? Again, there's a Game 6, and I'm hopeful and optimistic, and you have to be, because it's not over yet. But, I mean, in case things don't go the way you want, either in 6 or 7, I mean, we're talking maybe a reset, a retool, a reboot.
Yeah, the David Stearns retool.
You might be seeing it.
Although with maybe some slightly larger pieces than the Brewers retool.
Slightly.
Like a Chris Middleton getting shipped out.
It's possible. It is. But it's Game 6. We'll stay hopeful. But we got to hear from a couple of the leaders here in a night that we'd like to forget, really. A 2-1 loss. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell second. It takes 10 innings to lose this one. Scoring one run in their last 16 innings, offense got to get going. But ponder this. When you think about Tim Lopes, Pablo Reyes, and Daniel Robertson, and Jace Peterson, I like those guys. I mean, I'm sure they're fine, upstanding young men of the community. But, I mean, you're going to have to get healthy, and then the flow chart gets a little bit more acceptable. On the Bucs side of thing, we'll start out with Coach Bud here. And sit back and listen. I'm curious. Now, I have not heard this. I am super curious to hear the demeanor. Does he ever get mad? I mean, does he ever just lose his mind? And that would be me. That would be me. And to a fault, maybe, at times. But I'm interested in demeanor and hearing his reaction, as you guys are. Let's hear from the Milwaukee Bucks head coach.
We're getting there.
All right, questions for Coach.
There we go.
Eric, name?
Hey, Bud. Obviously, Durant gets loose against you guys. Just with the defense on him, with kind of the way everyone else was limited on the floor, is there a thought to just doubling the ball out of his hands and kind of dealing with someone else?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's, you think of everything, you kind of go through it, you see how the series has evolved, and, you know, special performance by him, credit to him, you know, some tough shots. So, you know, we got to look at it, figure out, you know, getting better. But special by him, and then, you know, Green at the three-point line, 7 for 8, Griffin hitting a few. So, you know, we got to figure out, we just got to go home and, you know, win at home like they did it in game 5.
I would ask also about Giannis on Durant. That was something that you guys didn't try. We saw a little bit in the regular season. You didn't try tonight. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tuck's kind of done a great job this year, this series. Again, you know, some of the looks he made are, you know, very tough. And I think Giannis's activity off the ball, Giannis in other spots, you know, is important to us. And at the end of the day, you know, Tuck, Chris, Drew, these guys are doing a, you know, fabulous job. And he still goes for 49. You give him credit. You know, I don't think it was easy. You know, we got to look at everything. But, you know, he had to work for it. And, you know, we just got to figure out how to get to game 6 and win at home.
Offensively, it felt like when you guys got James Harden defending in space, it was a real struggle with him because of the lack of lateral movement he had. But when he was one-on-one, he was able to kind of do that. What could have gone better in making him defend in space, dribble handoffs, things like that?
Yeah, no, I mean, there were some examples, you know, where, you know, like you said, we attacked him. We got good things out of it. We just got to keep moving. You know, he guards different guys. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, us getting to actions that we want, you know, it may or may not include Harden. You know, Chris and Giannis with the ball, Drew and Giannis with the ball, things like that. So, you know, we had a good first three quarters, you know, stalled out a little bit offensively in the fourth. So we got to be better executing down the stretch.
Late, you guys were going to Giannis in the post. What did you like about that matchup?
Yeah, no, I mean, Green was in a little bit of foul trouble. He had 4 for most of the fourth quarter, you know, getting to the paint, finishing. Just, you know, I thought Giannis was efficient out of the kind of mid post spot.
Jim Ozarski.
Hey, Mike, what was the balance you were trying to strike in the fourth quarter? PJ obviously had the 5 fouls. Were we kind of going back and forth on when to put him in? You know what I mean? As opposed to, I think it just came in late. I think it was, what, 4 and a half minutes where he was off.
Yeah, I mean, I think Chris has done a good job on Durant also. You know, we've thrown a lot of different guys at him. Tuck gets the majority of, you know, the minutes. But, you know, we'll look at the film. But, you know, like I said, I think he's working, you know, for his baskets. I thought Chris had a lot of good defensive possessions. You know, so we're going to throw different guys at him, different looks at him as far as matchups. And Tuck will get a lot of them. But, you know, there's going to be other guys that guard him also.
You mentioned the offense stagnating a little bit. Was there a particular reason that you felt in the moment maybe why that ball movement stopped or slowed down? Was it what they were presenting? Or do you think the guys kind of tightened up to a degree as that lead – you know, as it became a bucket for bucket type of situation?
I mean, you know, there were, you know, I think times when, like you said, it was basket for basket and things, you know, they executed. At the end of the day, you know, they made one shot from 35, 40 feet. That was a 3. And, you know, we had a couple looks that we just, you know, we didn't convert, you know, foul a couple times. And so, you know, there's, I think 21's not enough, but there's also some opportunities. You make one or two more shots and it's 25, 27, 28. And, you know, it's a basket for basket game, like you said.
Just going back to the first half with the foul trouble and playing a little bit of matchup with Pat, Bryn, Eli, Thanasis, what did you see from them? I think they kept that lead around 13 to 17. And then off that, I guess, where did Bobby not fit into that, I guess, as you were doing it in the first half?
Yeah, you know, I thought Thanasis always gives us, you know, whatever he plays, gives us great defense, great energy. Elijah gave us a couple minutes just to get through the foul trouble. You know, we just kind of, you know, went with, you know, kind of more of a spread court, more spacing, you know, and so, you know, Bobby's going to be ready. You know, he'll be ready to go and help us whenever we need him.
One more to Tim Bontemps.
Mike, was there, with Harden being out there for as long as he was and obviously limited a bit, was there ways that you guys maybe could have taken more advantage of him at the defensive end to try to attack him more, or were they doing a good job of hiding him away on guys?
I think he's going to guard certain people during the game, and we can always get better. Can we attack just in generally better? But Giannis and Chris and Drew are going to be, the focal point probably. And, chasing matchups and things like that sometimes is good. And sometimes it can have the reverse effect or, so we probably need a little bit of both, but, I think it's not something that's, we just got to balance it.
A little laid back, Coach Budenholzer there for my liking. I'll just say that. Wow, Thanasis adds, we love the energy he puts out. So you love that energy in a minute, 20 seconds of play. Okay, number one. Do you think it's a coincidence that Steve Nash starts griping through the media about Tucker being borderline non-basketball physical and P.J. Tucker ends up in foul trouble? You think there's a coincidence in that, or is there something to that? That's what I'm talking about. And I hate to beat that dead horse for a couple of years now, but it's true. I don't hear him backing up Giannis. When he goes physical, it's seemingly, to me, he doesn't get the same calls some of these other superstars get. That's just, and I put that on Coach Bud. You can't change it now. It's not going to change in game six. It's not going to change in game seven, or if they get by this series, it's not going to change in the next series. This should have been some groundwork set forth by Coach Bud years ago to protect that. Just think about that. Steve Nash talks about the physical play of P.J. Tucker, and he's in five foul trouble. Do you find that ironic, Evan? Or is it just me looking for something?
You hit the nail on the head. I'm just trying to decide, do I want to put on my tinfoil hat and talk about the real reason that the Bucks aren't getting any calls?
What is it?
Well, it's that the league wants the Nets to make it to the next round, so they're going to tell the referees to call in favor of the Nets, and no matter what Bud says, the refs are going to call what they're going to call, and we saw tonight that they really love to call fouls for Kevin Durant and not for Giannis, so I don't know. If I put on my tinfoil hat, I'm not saying that it's happening, but I'm sure Adam Silver would like it if the Nets made it to the next round over the Bucks.
We're not going
to
get fined for saying it. Coach Bud might, but we're not going to get fined.
Yeah, but he'll be without a job here pretty soon anyway, so he probably needs to save that money. That's why he's not saying anything to the media.
All right. Well, there's one head coach and leader of that Milwaukee Bucks team, and we'll get to the Brewers side of things. Let's hear from Brewers manager Craig Counsell. A lot to unpack in this one, a 2-1, 10-inning loss, where, accolades are thrown out there to Brett Anderson for his performance tonight. Seven innings of shutout baseball on just one hit. Just a walk, so a couple of base runners there, but nine strikeouts. That's a really good performance. And in most cases, if you have a little bit below average offense, you should be able to win that game. Now, they did not do that tonight. Let's hear from Craig Counsell.
Craig, that was probably the best game Brett's pitched as a Brewer. I mean, his pace was so good and pounding the strike zone. He just never let him up for air.
Yeah, I mean, he just executed a whole bunch of pitches, and there was a crispness to it. Everything was good. Curveball, changeup, little cutter, I mean, fat sinker. So it was really a pitching clinic. I mean, that's as good a performance as we've seen this year.
Craig, at 82 pitches – I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
At 82 pitches, was he close to getting another inning?
I just thought at 82 pitches, he was up seven times. He hasn't been there recently. And so it was just time, there was a little bit debate. There was a little discussion and I thought it was just time.
Greg Boxberger's been so. Sorry, Sophia. I was going to say Boxberger's been so good this season. What do you think happened there early in the 10th inning with him?
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't have a feel for his changeup. I thought maybe it was probably the pitch that eluded him a little bit tonight. And then those situations, they had good hitters coming up, and he just wasn't like crisp to the first couple hitters really. And they got two guys on base, and nothing really happened the rest of the inning. But when you start with that man on second, obviously the inning is you got to be pretty perfect to not let anything happen there. So he recovered pretty good and got us out of it, but just a little bit too much.
I was just going to ask about Brett. He said the changeup was really a big difference for him. What did you see in terms of what was different or how that helped him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the changeup is a pitch that just slows hitters down. It takes their aggression away. He broke it out early in the game, and they were over aggressive on it. And so he got a lot of swings and misses on it early. And then as he goes the next time through the lineup, it works to slow them down against his sinker. So it's a pitch that he had this, it was working as well tonight as it has all year for sure. And it's just another weapon for him. I think that's the pitch to me that really helped him gets through the lineup a little more, is that changeup.
Craig, after you see Castillo the last two times you've seen him, is it hard to believe? His overall, he's 2-9 with a 6+ ERA. I mean, it doesn't seem to compute when you watch the way he pitched the last two times against you guys.
Yeah, I mean, tonight he was he was really good tonight. There just didn't feel like we had a lot of pitches to hit. We drew some walks and got some, had a couple mini rallies, but I never felt like, we should have hit that pitch, or, we didn't have many pitches to hit. We'd work a count to 3-2 and he'd put a pitch right in the corner. So it was a good pitching performance. He's obviously, it looks like he's getting a little more dialed in. He's a good pitcher. He's been a good pitcher in our division for a while now. He struggled with his command, obviously, early in the season, and it looks like it's getting better for sure.
Craig, you think the fact he was sort of on the outside part of the plate a lot of the night gets him that call against Bradley? I don't know if you saw how far outside.
I don't know. There was one I heard against Jackie that was not a strike, but there was good pitching tonight, though. I mean, the pitching was really good all around tonight, but I think that one on Jackie was a ball.
After you had your guy on in the 10th, Jace put that 12 pitch at bat on their guy, and he struck out, but I mean, that looked like an at bat that might go either way, and it turned out to be a huge.
Yeah. I mean, it helps him in Weecho's at it, because I think he got a little tired, and even though he got ahead of Weecho, and Weecho battled back too after getting down in the count. But you hope that Jace had a great at bat. I mean, he fouled off some tough pitches, and unfortunately chased one at the end. But great at bat, and you hope you take a little piece of him in that, and maybe do something for the next couple of guys coming up. We got him out of there, and Garrett made a couple of good pitches.
That check swing stuff seems to go either way. You never seem to be able to figure it out. Did you think Lopes went?
I mean, it's close enough where I'm not going to complain about that one. I mean, those are so hard to say yes or no. It's a judgment. It wasn't an obvious one, in my opinion.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
Yeah, rough night here in the state of Wisconsin, in the city of Milwaukee. Bucks fall 114-108. Brewers fall 2-1 in 10 innings. I got to say, I disagree with Craig Counsell when he was talking about didn't get many pitches to hit. I think he needs to go back and look at the tape. Seriously. I don't vehemently disagree with Craig Counsell on too many things, but he needs to go back and look at some of those ABs. I'm tired of fastball counts and fastball swings and misses by this offense. I told you about it in April. It's a trend I noticed in April. It's fastball counts, getting the fastball, belt high, middle in, and swinging and missing at those pitches when you're looking for it or taking them for a strike in a fastball count. Now, I know baseball's a little more on the funky side here. You see 2-0 changes. You see 2-1 changes. I get it. But let's go. Maybe go back to the fundamentals. Your team doesn't hit very well. Start looking for the fastball. Adjust to the breaker. I mean, it's easier said than done. I understand. You can't tell me there weren't fastballs to hit here. Because there were. So I have to disagree right there. All right. Let's get a play of the game in here with ABC audio video. Unfortunately, I'm going to play this for you. It just hurts so good in a way, in a weird way. This is going to make game six a sweeter victory. But when this dude is on, he's tough. I would have doubled him and shut him down. I would have made these other guys try and beat me. When you knew that he's on, that's KD, fourth quarter, just unconscious. Check it out.
Good crush the defense by Milwaukee. Now Durant fires and hits with the shot clock running down. He hits from downtown.
This was just a poor possession. Harden dribbled the clock out, but was bailed out by Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy on TNT right there. ABC audio video play of the game. All right, let's squeeze in a couple of calls here before we hear from Giannis after the break here. 799-1250 to Kavika, listening on the Odyssey app. Kavika, you're on the Fan.
Aloha, guys. Yeah,
what's happening?
Know, in regards to, I want to talk about the Bucks, but just, you know, with the Brewers. I mean, I think the Brewers are just overachieving with the kind of team they got, you know, besides Yelich. I mean, they're playing above their heads. You know, the last 20, 21 games, they've lost like maybe four or five. I think that's amazing. I think Craig Counsell is a wonderful manager. I mean, if Coach Bud could only be like half the coach that the Brewers have, you know, tonight, you know, in regards to the Bucks, God, just, they just imploded. I wonder, even with a new coach, you know, I mean, because they got to have the movers at the house already for Bud. I mean, this is just ridiculous. 3 years in a row. I just think they're just, in these moments, they're just, you could just see the writing on the wall in the third quarter that something was going to happen. I mean, they played KD, you know, in game four where they had a guy in his face and then they had a guy shadowing the guy, you know, they almost had like two guys on him. I don't know why all of a sudden they change it up. I mean, he scores 50 points. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, I know I'm frustrated. I mean, and this game was hard for me to watch. I don't know what this guy is thinking. But it's like, it's like every year. And then Giannis, he lost the ball at the end of the game because he was going to get fouled. He knew he was going to get fouled. I don't know what to say. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes he does play a little bit out of control for my life. It's tough to tough to complain about Giannis, but yeah, in those clutch situations, we can't pick it apart here. Kavika, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening on that free Odyssey app. And Mike, it looks like Mike, you're going to get the last word. So make it a good one. This series is not over for the Bucks. They're coming back home for Game 6. We're probably going to see a Game 7.
Yeah. My point would be, I don't think our coaches have a hair on their butt.
Get out of here. I know who that was.
They don't take chances.
I know this.
They sit on their butts.
You are now grounded from the phone lines for a week.
You're grounded. Come on,
1 week.
Tim, I'm your brother.
All right, thanks for the call, buddy. All right, take it easy. All right, we end on a light note there in terms of calls, but we got to hear from Giannis, and that is up next. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame shows, plural, Bucks Brewers, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove here on The Fan.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free, plus no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
As entertaining as Brett Anderson can be in a media session, we're going to have to bypass that because we have to hear from Giannis. That's the lead story, and we can't bury that. As both Milwaukee teams lose tonight, a rough night in the sports world. But again, I will remind you a couple of things. It's nights like this that makes winning that much sweeter. And I don't mean to be cliche about it, but it's true. And secondly, and maybe more importantly, that series is not done yet. Bucks and Nets. It's not done yet. Much of that will be discussed tomorrow here on this radio station, with Bart Winkler in the morning, Wendy's Big Show, and Rami in the afternoon. But, Bucks fall 114-108, Giannis 34, KD 49. Bucks were up 17 in this game, and that just was gone. And it was a little bit of a chase at the end there, and it just came up short for the Milwaukee Bucks. But let's hear from the two-time MVP after the loss.
Eric Name.
Hey, Giannis, obviously throughout the series, we've talked about Durant and just how tough of a cover he is. He obviously has just a monster night. What did you feel like you guys could have done better? Is that something that starts early and taking him out of a rhythm? Is that something that late you could have done something different? Just kind of how do you view that?
Well, what could have done better on KD?
Correct.
You've been around us like a long time. What do you think? Let's have a conversation.
The first two things that come to mind is you could have guarded him.
Me personally?
Yes.
Okay. What else? What's the second?
The second idea would be to double the ball out of his hands.
Oh man. I don't know, man. Just keep making it tough. Obviously, one of the best scorers to ever play the game. It's tough. You know, like he's the best. He's the best player in the world right now, and we gotta beat him as a team. We gotta guard him as a team. We gotta make him make tough shots like tonight. And we just gotta keep doing our job, and hopefully he's gonna miss. But we gotta keep doing our job. We gotta keep guarding him together. We gotta keep showing help, keep making it tough, keep picking him up full court. And then there's gonna be times in the game when coach tells us to double team him. We're gonna double team. But right now, we gotta keep containing him as much as possible. But at the end of the day, he's done an unbelievable job. As I said, best player in the world, best scorer in the world. We're doing our job. It's going to be nice that he's going to do what he did tonight, have 50. And it's going to be nice that we're going to try to contain him as much as possible and give ourselves the chance to be in the game and be in a position to win the game. But keep guarding him together. One guy can guard him. Two guys can guard. We got to do it as a team.
Would you like to be at the head of that? Like, that's something that we talked about before, right? Like, you getting over and being able to do that. Is that something that you would want, like, in game six?
Sure.
Like,
for sure. I want to take the challenge. And, you know, obviously, everybody's going to have a chance to guard him. But I would love going to game six to be able to guard him. And if coach want me to do that, you know, I'm ready for that.
For you guys with Harden, his lateral movement kind of wasn't what it always is. How do you guys do a better job taking advantage of that if he plays again in game six?
Just, you know, keep having him like a lot of movement stuff, a lot of screen and rolls, whoever he's guarding, bring him up, set pick and roll, roll, pop, make it move, transition whenever you see him, attack him. Don't let him off the hook. I think it was guarding Brook. At one point, Brook get to the post so we can throw the ball and post him up. Just make him move, make him guard, and that's pretty much it.
Obviously, I need to ask you about the pass Chris throws you late. It looked like it was accurate and on time for me, but I'm just curious from you just kind of what happened on that play.
No, he was, I think, pretty accurate on time, as you said. Just wasn't able to get my two hands on it. Great pass by Chris. I messed up in that play. But at the end of the day, I can't focus on that. It's in the past. We lost the game. Got to focus on game six. Hopefully, we can be in the same position as a team. And if Chris makes the same pass, I can grab it and finish the play. But we got to focus on game six. We got to get one at home, protect home.
You guys have had deflating losses before. How do you kind of get game six? Like, this was a really tough loss. You guys had a big lead. You weren't able to hold on to it, and now you have to go out and get game six. How do you kind of react and have that ability to come back?
Losing is losing. Like, you know, losing by one, losing by 30, losing by being up 15 and they're coming back and I get the game, losing is losing. Like, at the end of the day, we got to do what we have to do. We got to focus on ourselves and control what we can control. And what we can control is our effort and going to game six. Hopefully we can bring it and give ourselves a position to win the game. But then, yeah, as I said, game five, it hurts a little bit, but man, like, if you keep focusing on that, in 2 days, we're playing game six. We got to give everything that we got. And Brooklyn did, they played a perfect game. Like, KD had 50, Jeff had 7 threes. You know, Blake was good. So they played a great game. So hopefully we can go to game six and play a good game too and come back here in Brooklyn.
Jim Ozarski.
Giannis, Drew was not happy with the way, I guess, quite frankly, the way you guys were called, the foul troubles for you, PJ, and himself through the first half, and felt that turned things a bit. I'm guessing that meant maybe the defensive effort. How did you guys come out of the half feeling maybe you could not defend because of the fouls or at least the way they were calling it?
I got to go back and watch the film, watch the tape and have an opinion about that. But, I try not to focus on the fouls. And obviously there's going to be times that, you know, the referee is going to miss some, you know, make the right call sometimes, make it a bad call sometimes. But we just got to focus on our effort. And I think coming out of the third quarter, my effort got to be a little bit even more. Like, it's got to be more. I can't be focused on, you know, fouls. And if we can guard, like, I don't care about that. I care about how, you know, how our effort was as a team, how my effort was. And, you know, coming out of the half, our effort wasn't what it's supposed to be. I think we could be a little bit better. Hopefully our games will be better.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
There will be better days. I can guarantee you that. But this was a rough night. Bucks fall. You just heard Giannis. Losing is bad. I get it. Great stuff from Eric Name right there with Giannis, and you just gotta like this guy. I mean, again, there's been some knuckleheads in professional sports that have been abrasive with the media. Giannis embraces it. And that's pretty cool stuff right there. So it's game six as we take a look ahead. Game six on Thursday night, and we'll be covering our conversations with that here on The Fan. Bart Winkler in the morning, Wendy's Big Show, and Rami in the afternoon. And then tomorrow also, it's the Brewers, I hate this, but the Brewers try to salvage a game in the series. Anytime you have to use that word salvage, it's never a good thing. Freddy Peralta going in game three, Evan.
Yes, he is, and his last start was against this Reds team about a week ago. He's coming into this game with a 6-1 record, a 2.25 ERA, although last outing against the Reds, he had a no decision, 4 innings, 1 run allowed. And then for the Reds, Tyler Mahl will be on the mound, a 6-2 record with a 3.56 ERA. And man, you have to, I hate to say, like you said, salvage one at home, but they need that one.
Yeah, this is a rough loss for the Crew. You wanted to be in a position to take the series, at least set it up so you're not going to get swept and you can actually have a chance to win the series. Opposite of that. Now you got to salvage. Tough. But we're going to be talking about it tomorrow after the last pitch. You make the switch. That's a 110 first pitch. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Okay, there will be better days. It was fun talking to you guys tonight, both Bucks and Brewers. For Evan Heffelfinger, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great, morning now. And we'll see you this afternoon. And despite the outcomes here in Milwaukee, try to smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.